a Rayo Original Podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
From Greatest Hits Radio.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Yes, a very warm welcome to the greatest podcast of all time, the most loved podcast in all the world. And I know that because as I open my mouth, Holly turns on the lights.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
It can be recorded just in case anything interesting happens. And that makes me feel really good.
Yes. It's like we're walking into heaven in here, aren't we?
Is that right?
Yeah.
They have really bright lights, do they? I don't know. A big fan of the bright lights. Love it. Please, let's have them more. That's what I say.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that's all we have, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Anyway, Sister Susie is this week in the pub as opposed to being here.
I am indeed.
Brother Matthew is squinting in the gutter.
Yes, he is.
Sister Holly guarding the cupboard of tat and actually hasn't given anything away for a very, very long time.
Well, no one has sent in a good enough email that warrants a mark for long time.
That is true.
Wow, strong.
Yeah.
Coming up, we're going to take a skip over to the parish notice board, home of the glowing 5-star reviews and the congregation correspondence. When I say take a skip, does that make it sound as though we're going to put a skip which you can load your rubbish into?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Or are we skipping to, with gay abandon? Are we kind of like skipping with jollity?
Jollity and gay abandon,
that's what I was thinking. With a skipping rope.
Okay. Yeah.
No.
Not with a skipping rope.
Why can we not have a skipping? What's wrong with the skipping?
Yeah, rope? Holly, what's wrong with the skipping rope?
No, Susie was the one who said no, not me.
I thought I'm just with health and safety.
That's true.
What about it?
Thank goodness she's there. Danger. Yeah, health and safety with the skipping rope.
Well, four of us trying to skip with a skipping rope over to a parish notice board.
Yeah, think about that.
Something's going to go wrong.
Danger. Skipping rope.
High ropeage. We're going to do that, which we just said. We're also going to pay a visit to the Mark Knopfler section, of course, and we're going to hear all of the confessions from Drive Time, 4 till 7, Greatest Hits Radio. Thank you for listening. Including this week, Canoeing Keith's love story, Why Must I Be a Teenager in Love? Brian's coffee concoction, Waiter, Waiter, Percolator, and Moneypenny's confession, Take Me to Church. But first, it's over to Mags, who was asking for forgiveness for her dad, Bill, who was vengeful and creative in his confession, I'll tumble for ya.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from Mags. Simon, Susie, Holly and Matt, I'm confessing this on behalf of my dad, who is now in his 80s and still quite a handful. My dad is called Bill and is Glaswegian, but I don't think you'll need to use your talents for him, Simon.
Oh, really? That seems a shame.
Yep. My dad was living with my stepmum, Judy, not her real name, and stepdaughter, and they had a lovely dog, Snoopy, which my stepsister, we'll call her Emma, used to walk along the very quiet road where they lived. Not very far, as she was quite young, about 10 years old at the time. Very, very occasionally, Snoopy would need to respond to nature.
Yeah, got it.
But as Emma was quite young, she would hurry home and my stepmum would go straight out and clear it all up. This worked well, as it was a quiet road and Emma could not manage to hold the dog and safely clear up on her own. So, this worked well until a very unpleasant woman saw the drop-off and Emma leaving it and then came out to admonish her. Emma tried in vain to explain that her mum was coming out to clear it all up, but this woman just shouted and shouted and shouted until eventually Emma began to cry. Aww. She continued to shout and eventually Emma left and came home very, very distraught. The leaving was removed, but Emma was too scared to take Snoopy out on her own ever again. Now, Bill is both vengeful and creative. also can bear a grudge to Olympic level and will never forget a slight to him or his family. So over the next few weeks, his plan was hatched. The horrible woman, we can call her Grotbag.
Okay.
That's her real name. And her poor husband were very regimented. The washing was done on a Friday. The car wash every Sunday morning. The shopping was done on a Thursday. You get the picture. She also always put a load in the tumble dryer every Saturday morning. Bill had observed this behaviour and was biding his time. Then, With the stealth and ninja-like skills that he had, he struck late one Friday evening. He took Snoopy for the late-night walk that he had suddenly introduced to the regime. He approached Grotbag's house and emptied a whole bottle of washing-up liquid into the outlet for their tumble dryer. He left. He came home. This was pre-camera doorbells and CCTV, so all he had to do was be quiet.
Okay.
Saturday morning came and chaos broke out on the street. As per usual, Grotbag put a smalls on to tumble dry. The heat, damp and air that were released from the tumble dryer were forced out of the outlet and caused the washing up liquid to transform into a foam party scene that would have made any Ibiza club proud. But in a residential driveway and garden, there were bubbles absolutely everywhere was not what we expected in this day and age. Initially, Mr. and Mrs. Grotbags were unaware, so this built up nicely for a while until they opened the door to a wall of foam. Mr. Grotbag had to fight his way out to work out what was happening, but apparently he was completely stumped. The neighbours were all out watching as foam was heading into their gardens, getting caught on the breeze. He tried to swipe it away, but that didn't work. He tried to stamp it away. No success. He tried to shout it away. What a pointless thing to do, even less success.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Mrs. Grotbag was screaming at him in a shrill but unrecognisable accent.
Okay, go on.
Why don't you do something? He was yelling back, also in an unrecognisable accent, what the heck do you suggest I do? She was kicking the phone from the step and then it started to come into his house. She slammed the door, leaving her husband in a cloud of foam. She could be seen in the front window watching as her regimented weekend descended into chaos. He continued to rush around, achieving absolutely nothing, but eventually worked out it was the dryer and turned it off. Bill witnessed all this as Snoopy was out on his newly installed morning walk at this time. Bill later heard via neighbours that they thought it was a new detergent that they'd used, but strangely, it never happened again. As I say, I'm sending this in on behalf of Bill. I don't think he's sorry in the least. If Grotbag had listened to Emma instead of yelling at her like a banshee, peace would have reigned. So really, she got what she deserved, in my opinion, like father, like daughter. I think the only forgiveness he'd want is from the other neighbours, who were completely bemused, but I think they found it entertaining as she was universally disliked.
Oh.
Emma wasn't the only one who'd felt her wrath. I listen to the podcast every week and I've enjoyed Confessions from the very beginning, so a mug that I can pass on to Bill would be very welcome if Holly is feeling benevolent. Well, I mean, I absolutely don't know about that. We'll discuss that
later.
We
will. In the podcast.
In the podcast, in fact, because that's a matter for the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast, otherwise you'll miss out what's going on. Sister Susie, what do you say to Mags, please?
Well, Mags, like, I do... Bill does sound fun, and vengeful and creative does sound really nice, and Grotbags does sound really horrible, but I hate to be the party pooper, really, and he doesn't really want forgiveness, so I'm sure he won't mind if I don't forgive him, but just think that could have broken the tumble dryer. There could have been a lot more chaos, and I think, you know, it was just went a little bit too far, maybe, for my liking, so not forgiven.
Still funny, eh?
Yes.
It was still funny. I admit, I agree, it was funny.
Yes, I'm going to forgive Bill, man after my own heart, being able to bear a grudge to Olympic levels and be creative whilst you're doing it. I mean, there are many things that I would have done in that situation which are nowhere near as nice and fun as putting some washing up liquid into the outlet for the dryer. So I think you did well there. And Grotbags had it coming, didn't she? Won't be doing that again, will you?
Except she doesn't know. One thing led to the other thing.
But I think she knows that the universe has...
Karma.
Has karma, there you go. Karma with the fairy. So, yes, definitely forgive him.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
What?
No, karma with the fairy, that made sense. As in fairy liquid, you know. I mean, other thingies are available to wash up with. But none of them leave my hands quite so soft as fairy liquid.
Okay, what was that?
For hands that do dishes can be soft as your face. Mildly green fairy liquid.
Yeah. I mean, this is all getting cut out.
Where was that?
It was an advert.
It was an advert.
Back in the 2000s.
Yeah, way back when.
I don't know, the 70s? Maybe I were 80s then. Yeah, maybe it's an 80s ad. It's common knowledge.
Yeah.
Absolutely everybody knows about it.
Yeah, Holly.
Get with
Come
it.
On. More the issue. So we said you got to listen to the podcast. So people, all thousands of people subscribe to the podcast to find out whether Holly is going to actually cough up a mug.
Yes.
Well, probably not. here are my reasons. Number one, you can't. He gets a smart speaker, so you can't have a smart speaker and a mug in one fell swoop. It doesn't work like that. Two, just because you get your confession read out and then you say at the end, oh, can I have a mug? No, doesn't work. And three, also, you weren't very good because you put washing up liquid in the tumble dryer. So, and I don't agree with that. So, and I only give mugs to people who I agree with.
You agree with? I like this. So, yeah, good,
that's
good.
It's getting harsh. Basically, we obviously haven't got any mugs left.
I think we've run out. That's my
I think there are a few hundred, but it's still...
Oh, right.
They're special.
They are. That's true.
Yeah.
Maybe we could get rid of them in like a job lot. So if anybody wants 200, like a whole youth organisation.
Yes.
No.
Do you want a pallet full of mugs?
I should say that we've heard from Bill before.
Oh, really?
Yes. A few years ago, we had a confession. If I remember it right, Bill was working in a bank and a colleague of his bought a bowler hat because that's what used to happen. And so I don't think he liked this guy with the bowler hat.
No.
So he bought one too, but bought one, a large one, and then put newspaper inside so that when the guy put his hat on, it felt right. But then when he removed the newspaper, the hat was too big for him and he thought his head was shrinking.
Yeah.
And when he left work, he actually thought his head was shrinking.
No, I like that. Yes. Playing with the mind.
Yes, a little bit vindictive.
It's a bit mean. Yeah. It's a bit evil.
Yeah. No, which is why I like it. Like a bit of evil.
Anyway, that was very good. Let's go to the parish notice board now, where praise is posted, typos are forgiven, and Matt reads out anything that praises him in particular.
Yes. Bonjour la classe. Bienvenue. Oh, 5 stars. So David, 71H says 5 stars. Highlight of the week. Wonderful entertainment delivered by the best team on the radio. Love Simon's delivery.
Hello.
Matt's convoluted reasons for forgiveness. Thanks, David, 71H. K Macarena says
Macarena.
Yeah. 5 stars. Pure fun. Love this podcast. The crazy stories, particularly the ones with a bit of a twist. The excellent accents by Simon.
Hello.
The unpredictable reasoning of Matt. Who's so funny. He should be doing stand-up.
No, really,
imagine that. The educational insights for Holly and Susie, who seems to be the voice of reason. The not-for-broadcast that essentially does get broadcast. It's a joy. I've sent in a confession, so hoping that makes the grade. We don't know that, Kay Macarena, but stay tuned. And Harrison Lee says 5 stars.
Isn't Harrison Lee a taxi company?
I'm pretty sure they're Anderson. Just coming around the corner now.
Yes.
Yeah. Any second, they're going to be with you. 5 stars. Every confession hilarious. Gets better every week. Straight into the point. Well done, Harrison Lee.
The only issue with gets better every week is that it sort of implies that it wasn't very good to start with.
Yeah. Or we are just like stratospheric now. We started better than everyone else.
Yes.
And now we're just like in space.
The best podcast in the world.
Yeah.
That's what you expect from the most subscribed to podcast in the UK.
In the UK.
That's factually correct.
Yes. Yeah, wow. Yeah,
if you say it often enough.
Yeah.
These are alternative facts.
They are.
So you just say them regularly and loudly.
Well, you know, being the best, I agree with.
And the most popular.
Most subscribed, I feel like someone could fact
number
check
one.
That.
We are number one. Yeah. Depends, but whose facts are you checking?
Yeah.
My facts say, because I checked my facts before we started, and my facts say we are number one.
Is this on conspiracytheory.org or something?
No, I just have my own version of reality. That's all.
Nice.
The times we live in.
So Susie has noticed something as she strode past the notice board. It caught her eye.
Yes, I picked this one from Neil, who says, I've just listened to the podcast, excellent as ever, where the man had a car that people thought was an undercover police car.
Mm.
This brought back memories of my father, who in 1988 had a brand new Ford Sierra. His car was white and grey two-toned, which at the time was identical to one used by PC Stamp in The Bill.
Oh, yes.
That was a TV series.
The Bill.
Wasn't Nigel in The Bill?
Nigel was in The Bill.
Nigel Barton was in The Bill.
I bet he was a rogue.
Yeah,
he was
definitely a rogue.
With his shirt.
He was a spiv, probably.
Yeah.
I'll get you one of those.
And would you like some aubergines whilst I'm here?
Yeah.
Why aubergines?
Done in a novel way with honey. Anyway, Suze continues.
Sorry, carry on, Suze.
Carrying on with Nigel. Obviously lacking the Dayglow police graphics, and Dad being a computer programmer, not a policeman, there was no arrestable impersonation of a police officer taking place. But if he had to get down the A1 or around the M25 quickly, he'd put on a dark suit and I'd sit in the passenger seat in my dark blue school uniform. The resulting white and grey police cars that appeared to be coming down the overtaking lane with two heavyset coppers on board, albeit one who must have joined the force yesterday, would result in traffic moving quickly to the left while we sailed past.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that at all, is there? I mean, you know, the traffic is supposed to get out of that lane. So, you know,
are the police employing children?
Well, they're wearing the school uniform.
Just because they're wearing a school uniform, he's still like 12.
Yeah. Maybe big for his age. That's right.
Yeah, but still, you don't want a 12-year-old copper, do you?
No, I don't think you do.
But they don't see that. You just see the car. If it's two-tone, sorry, I'm just picturing like a sort of like the specials type thing. Is that what it looked like?
That's exactly that. Literally. Yes, two tones, yes.
Wow. That's quite funky. I'd want a car like that. That sounds great.
Yeah, you don't want a 12-year-old copper. That's all I'm saying.
I think we can all get on board with your contention, though. We do not
talk about the good old days, but, you know, back in the day, people tolerated 12-year-old coppers.
No, I don't think they did.
I think they did. They were quite happy with them. They got up the chimney in the morning and then there were coppers in the afternoon.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, those were the days, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Send them up a chimney. Anyway.
Confessions at greatestheatsradio.co.uk if you have anything for our notice board. A couple of mentions too. Ross Alexander, Eddie Howard, Ryan Drews, Stephen, Irene, and Philip Morgan, all one word and lowercase, who are amongst those who got in touch all about the secret code phrase from last week's podcast, which was, of course, waiting for my time.
Oh, yeah.
I've got no idea why. Can't remember that.
No.
Matt will have a new secret code phrase at the end of this podcast, unless he's got it already.
Yeah, maybe I do. Or maybe I don't. Let's find out at the end of the podcast. Okay.
And now it's time to enter the shadowy corner of the podcast, the dark side. We lovingly call the Mark Knopfler section, which a few people, including Natalie B on Spotify, says, why the Mark Knopfler section? I wasn't there for the invention of this term, so would love to know. Great show, accent.
Yes. Yeah.
It's the not for broadcast section, which...
We said marked, not for broadcast, and that sort of became Mark Knopfler, didn't it?
Which, if you've had a few drinks and you squint at the radio, it sort of comes out as Mark Knopfler.
It was a listener who thought that's what we were saying. Yeah. And so that's why we ended up calling it that.
Also, Mark Knopfler did get in touch and said,
Can I
sponsor one part of your podcast?
Yes.
And so we said yes, and so that's why it's the Mark Knopfler section of the podcast.
He doesn't sponsor it, though.
Does he not?
No.
He's always been my Sultan of Swing.
He wasn't giving us money for nothing.
Money for nothing, there you go. Holly's on fire. Anyone else? Is he our brothers in arms? No?
Okay, we're running.
Okay, so
this week's not for broadcast section, Pollyanna. Oh, really? Pollyanna. You may have hated the consultant that you worked for as a receptionist. We do agree he doesn't sound very nice. In fact, your description of vile, rude and patronising sounds pretty spot on. Fancy that in a consultant.
Mm.
But there is no getting away from the fact that slashing his tyres on your way out.
Oh my God. I had no idea it was going to go like that.
Three times.
Slashing his tyres.
Three times before you left the job is actually, let me just look this up. Yes, that's right.
Criminal damage.
Criminal damage. That's
oh my goodness. Slashing his tyres.
Three times. Not even just once.
Is it three tyres though? So that's probably what it is, isn't it? Well, she's not going to, she can't have done it three times.
That's what it says here. She did it three times.
Three times a lady with the slashing of the tyres. Yeah. The Commodores. Yeah.
Thanks, Matt.
Anyway.
Lionel Richie.
Consultants. I mean, blimey.
Yeah.
It wasn't very nice. But.
And also Fred. Fred. The less said about your confession, the better. So we'll leave it there. Okay, you want a bit more?
Yes, just a little.
The graphic description of how you relieved yourself in the back of your car using a Greg sausage roll bag.
Oh, it would go everywhere.
Because of what you call desperate times is not really for tea time, is it? And desperate times, what, like there's a war on or something like that? I don't think so. I just mean you're personal time planning wasn't very good.
No.
But in the, must have had really good aim.
I think it was... Right, I've got something else in my mind. But anyway...
What are you... Wait, how... Wait.
I think he was probably wearing it, wasn't he?
Oh!
No. I think it was... Because that's not going to... I mean, we don't need to get in, we don't need to get into the
but he did.
Physics of this.
Okay.
But
yeah.
It's not going to... The liquid is not going to be held in the...
Well, that's what I thought. It's not going to hold it, is it?
No, it's...
I don't think it was...
What you need is a thermos flask.
No, because that's...
That would keep it in.
I think that wasn't addressing his problem. He's using the Greg's bag. I don't know whether we need to get too graphic here, but you know, I think everyone apart from you three understands what he's using the Greg's bag for. Because it's not.
I know what he's using.
There you go. Susie's with me now.
I'm confused.
At some point, Holly and Simon are going to get it.
He's gone to the loo in a Greg's bag. That's what.
Yes.
Yes.
But not.
It's gone for a number two.
There you go.
Oh.
Yeah.
I read it as a number one.
No, exactly. That, but that's not the paper's not going to hold that, is it? So, you
know. No.
No.
And this is a personal note to myself here. When we do the final flourish, the three steps to seven,
yes.
I have to stop saying. And there's a massive number two.
Yeah, yeah. You've done that once.
And what an impressive number one.
Massive number two.
I might use them when I'm potty training.
Yes, well done.
So anyway, that's my little note to myself.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's obvious that's what it is in the Greg sausage roll bag.
I'm not going to get into the physics again. But
how could he do that, though?
Exactly. How could he do that?
Whereas
Holly?
A number one.
Number one is a whole lot easier. Very
yes, but it's not going to work.
You might as well have the bag for a number one. You just in the back of your car, because that's what you're doing, isn't it?
Yeah, but the bag's just going to disintegrate.
But that's what I mean.
Exactly.
Whereas, the bag.
No, I think it was a number one.
Yeah.
I reckon it is.
What? No, no.
Anyway, back to the confessions that made it on because they had nothing to do with Greg's sausage roll bags. Mm. Can I say, not that there's anything wrong with their bags, but their bags are great. And if I ever need a strong bag, then that's where I go.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Greg.
And they also keep my hands nice and soft.
For hands that do dishes.
Oh, my God.
Greg's sausage roll.
With mild green.
Anyway. Wrong call.
Anyway, here we go. It's next. Canoeing Keith's confession. Why must I be a teenager in love?
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
Simon Mayo's confessions.
Today's confession comes from Canoeing Keith. Thank you, Canoeing Keith. Simon and the rest of the Ever Forgiving team, this is a confession I've carried like a soggy life jacket for over 20 years. I've managed to build a decent life, a home, a steady job, two wonderful children, and a wife I still can't quite believe said yes. But there's one event from the summer of 2002 that I've never admitted to anyone, not even to her.
Wow.
Oh,
dear.
And it all started at a summer camp in the Lake District. Back then I was 14, tall, awkward, acne-prone and so painfully self-conscious, I could barely hold eye contact with my own reflection. My parents, convinced I needed to be less indoorsy, signed me up for a week-long adventure camp, the sort with trust falls. I had to check. They're the ones where you show that you trust other people by falling back.
Backwards, yes.
And they catch you.
Yeah, right.
Midges and counsellors who insisted on being called names like Badger and Gaz. Anyway, I was given Gaz. It was supposed to be fun. It was not. It rained a lot, and I was beginning to hate every single minute of it. Until I met Emma from Cabin 4.
Mm.
She was also 14, confident, funny, wore jelly shoes with absolute defiance, and had a laugh like fizzy lemonade. On day two, she handed me a jelly baby after I tripped over a canoe paddle, and I fell harder than I had onto the gravel path. I was... quite simply, besotted. But there was a problem. A tanned, floppy-haired, surfboard-for-a-shoulder-blade-shaped problem by the name of Josh Johnson.
Ugh, Josh.
Josh was 15.
Oh, no.
Popular.
Ugh.
Athletic. Everything I wasn't. He could light a fire with a crisp packet and sheer self-belief.
What?
Worst of all, Emma clearly fancied him back. So when I found out that the big Thursday canoe relay would require partners, I spent all of Wednesday mustering the courage to ask Emma to team up with me. But Josh, with his perfect timing and even more perfect hair, beat me to it. "Hey," he said, flicking his fringe like a shampoo advert.
"Oh, fringe.
You've got good balance. Want to pair up?"
"What?"
She giggled, and I died inside. That night, whilst everyone else was singing American Pie around a campfire, I slipped away and made my way to the boathouse. And there it was, their canoe, red, shiny, and smug. I don't know what came over me. I didn't want to hurt anyone. I just wanted...
Go on.
A little bit of revenge, a chance, something to tilt the odds just a little. So using a small adjustable spanner I found hanging on the wall, I loosened the bolts on the rear seat just slightly, just enough to make it unstable. The next morning, Josh and Emma were first onto the lake. They waved, she smiled. I looked away, and then, within seconds, bam, the rear seat gave out. The canoe flipped like a pancake. There was flailing. There was shouting. There was one glitter jelly shoe that floated away into legend. Capsized. It was a beautiful and terrible and unforgettable experience all at the same time. Josh splashed and flailed. Emma screamed, surfaced with seaweed in her hair and swore loudly at Gaz, who ran over yelling about faulty boats and conduct reviews. The whole race was delayed. Josh spent the rest of the day in a damp hoodie and soggy pride. Emma, dripping and furious, told him he'd ruined everything. And then, to my shock, she sat next to me at lunch. We started talking, first about the canoe disaster, then about the terrible breakfast sausages, then about everything. That night we roasted marshmallows side by side. She slipped her jelly shoes off and dangled her toes into the lake. I offered her a jelly baby. I'd saved it from earlier, and she took two. We stayed in touch. We wrote letters. We met up the next summer. We started dating when we were 17. We broke up at university. Her idea, devastating. We got back together at 23.
Wow.
And Father Simon, I married her.
Of course.
We've now got a semi-detached in Oxfordshire, a dog called Peanut, and two kids who are dangerously close to being old enough for summer camp themselves. She still tells the story sometimes about how her canoe flipped thanks to some dodgy maintenance and how it was the best, worst day of her life. She never suspected a thing until now. So, Emma, if you're listening, it wasn't a dodgy canoe, it wasn't Gaz, it was me. I sabotaged the seat, I dunked Josh Johnson. And I did it because I couldn't bear the thought of not sitting next to you. Do I regret it? Every time I hear the words team building exercise, yes, but also no, because it worked. So I would ask for forgiveness, not just from you or from Josh, who for the record became a PE teacher and still looks like a walking sunbed, but from my wonderful wife, Emma. You were worth the capsized conscience, but I'm truly sorry, even if I do it again. Yours in long overdue honesty, that's Canoeing Keith. Well, I mean, we changed a few names here and there, so hopefully Josh doesn't get spotted. But anyway, a very dangerous work from Canoeing Keith. I know Sister Susie's going to come down very hard.
Oh, well, I do like a love story, and I'm a bit of a sucker for that, Canoeing Keith. But I suppose I should say you may only have been 14, and, you know, everyone's been there, unrequited love and all of that. And just... You could have caused an injury.
Sabotage, danger.
High
low
voltage.
Water. Yes.
Indeed. Yeah. Open water. Someone could have, you know, drowned, probably not, but it could have been dangerous, and thankfully it wasn't. And I'm glad it all worked out in the end, but I'm afraid there's no forgiveness here.
Brother Matthew.
Yeah, that would have taken a dark twist if they drowned, because we probably wouldn't have read that one out, I don't think. So I'm going to forgive because, you know, we all know a Josh with his fringe and his tan and his ability to talk to girls. And it's, oh, the worst.
And he's older.
And he's older. Oh, even worse. But she dumped him pretty fast when he got a bit wet and that ruined his fringe. So good for her and good for him as well. And keeping a secret for... How long is it? 23 years. So, yes, I'm definitely going to forgive. In the words of Peter Gabriel, up on the Salisbury Hill, he said, I'm going to forgive because Josh sounds like a pain.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone.
What?
Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
So we should just explain at this point, if you if you miss the show and the context, if it looks to me as though Matt is just going to go on forever, I start the next track.
Yes.
And then Matt has to do the voiceover. And I had just started playing Salisbury Hill by Peter Gabriel.
And it's quite a long intro to that, isn't it?
Yeah. And you tried to tie it in very unsuccessfully.
Very well. Yes.
Into Canoeing Keith's tale. Still to come, a very unsavoury cup of coffee is served in Brian's confession, waiter, percolator. But first, it's Moneypenny's confession, take me to church.
Confess all, Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
Today's confession comes from Moneypenny.
Oh.
Thanks, Moneypenny. Father Simon, Brother Matt, Sister Susie and Sister Holly. Alternative facts are all the rage these days, but I seek forgiveness for something that took place when I was a teenager and thought that my alternative fact was far more interesting than reality, even though I should have known better. Especially as this confession takes place in a church where all sins count double. Is that true?
Apparently so.
Is that right?
Yeah. Let's say that.
Who keeps the tally there then? Anyway, Moneypenny continues. I would like it known that I still have very strong links with this church. I reckon she's probably the vicar.
Yes.
And many people there... But I know that they will forgive me and will understand this youthful misdemeanor. My tale is from the early 2000s when I would go to church coffee mornings on a Saturday morning with my parents and would soon disappear into the main building to help old Arthur with visitors looking round our lovely church. Arthur was a wonderful old man who would tell me many stories about his past, and we would take great pride in telling tourists about our wonderful church. Nothing could be more fulfilling than impressing our casual tourists with all of the facts. Our lovely church has many interesting features, which Arthur and I would happily talk about, including the beautiful stained glass, the magnificent choir stalls, and, for a reasonable price, drawings of the church. But our favourite part of the tour was when we would take the visitors to the board that showed our past vicars. Now, this may not sound that interesting to be shown a board of names, although actually from my point of view, that's a very interesting place because you'd be amazed what literary stimulation you can get from a board of names of vicars in a church. See Itch for details, just so I mentioned that. Anyway, but this beautiful, that's nothing to do with this.
Nothing, just shameless.
Board of names of vicars, anyway. But this beautiful church is located in Kent and is approximately 33 miles from Sandwich, a town known to have been frequented by a certain espionage author by the name of Ian Fleming. I have done my research here, Father Simon. I looked into this author, and there are many tourists that now know something very, very interesting. And that is because, on a visit to our church many decades ago, Ian Fleming, dressed immaculately in a classic British suit from Savile Row and a shirt from Jermyn Street, noticed from our notice board that centuries ago, in the 1780s, I believe, the vicar here was James Bond.
Oh.
Wow.
Mr. Fleming, of course, was seen by those on the tour with him to be most interested in this fact and wrote it down in a little notebook, dropping a half crown into the collection plate. Thanks so much, he was heard to say, very illuminating.
He was heard to say that, was he?
Wow.
Glad someone heard that.
These are the claims, anyway, I would say, that he named his most famous character from our church notice board. There are others that say it was from an ornithology book, but that was just a trick he played to disguise the true source, which was an 18th century vicar. Now, I'd love to say that Arthur and I only did this a few times, but this actually went on for years. And even now, many years later, when I absolutely should know better, especially as I was until recently one of the church wardens, I do still tell visitors that our church was, in fact, the inspiration for the name. And then I might say very quietly the actual origin as well. We believe hundreds of people have been told this alternative fact. They, in turn, have told hundreds of others this alternative fact. And so an alternative history has taken root. So I seek forgiveness. Not just from the ever-forgiving collective, but from the many, many visitors who may well have gone home and proudly told their friends and family that they have been to the place that inspired the most famous spy in the world, well, his name anyway, and then been laughed at when someone corrected them, and also from my friends and family who still attend this church and may not have realised how much fun Arthur and I have had showing all our visitors round. I'm sure tour guides make stuff up all the time, and that's what me and Arthur did. Justice. found one fact. Mm-hmm. Please feel free to use my real name unless you can come up with something that's suitably spy-ish. Lots of love, Moneypenny.
Ah. Mm.
So I did. Yeah, well, I came up with something anyway.
Yeah.
So this is very interesting. I mean, I am fairly sure that tour guides, they go, well, and this was, you know, created by Oliver Cromwell when he was into trifles and he dedicated his life to custard. And people go, oh, really? That's very interesting. But anyway, Moneypenny has done this for real. And if you still think that James Bond got it, there obviously was a James Bond who was a vicar in the 1780s because he's on the board.
Yeah.
But it's just not that one. Anyway, Sister Suze, what do you say?
Well, do you know what, Moneypenny? I do like a confession that features a parish notice board. So, you know, well done. You get some bonus points for that. And really, I'm struggling here to find what harm was done, because who really knows
lies
where Ian Fleming got that from? And,
from an ornithology book, apparently.
Well, found it more interesting, maybe, the people that visited the church knowing that fact. So maybe, you know, that helped. And I'm feeling quite generous today, so I'm going to forgive it.
So my fact is more interesting than your fact, and so therefore I'm going to believe it.
Yes.
That's the way the world turns, Matt.
Yes, it is. That's where we are now. I'm going to forgive because, you know, I'm sure tour guides, when you've done enough tours, where you go around the same places all the time, then you've got to liven it up, haven't you? You've got to spice it up, and sometimes you need to maybe slip in something that might not be 100% true. So,
Or
true at all. So I would definitely go for that. James Bond, everyone loves that. Everyone's going to love thinking that they've gone to this church, seen the same windows, and then thought, oh, look at this. It's James Bond. Happy landings, Blofeld. So for all those reasons,
yes,
I'm going to forgive.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from, it comes from Brian. I just made it up there.
Oh, okay. Right.
I think we're hinting at a PG here. Brian says, Father Simon, Brother Matt, Sister Susie, and all forgiving collective, let me take you back to the early 90s. I was a young and thrusting corporal in the British Army. I was deployed on a 5-year posting to a brigade headquarters, and unlike other postings, I was given my own office within the brigade HQ building. As you can imagine, being a junior NCO, this was unknown. Usually us lowly ranks had to share, but not this posting. My office wasn't much, but I decided to paint and furniture my new office. So to furniture is clearly a verb. Anyway.
Is it?
Yes. Mm. To make it as homely and relaxing as any workspace could be. So I festooned it with all types of military regalia, pictures, regimental plaques, even a tablecloth, a regimental tablecloth for my coffee table. But pride of place in my new office was the one piece of equipment that was my pride and joy, a coffee percolator. Every morning, I would arrive early, carefully measure the required amount of my favourite ground coffee, place it in the filter, fill the glass coffee pot with bottled water, no foul-tasting tap water for this NCO, carefully pour the water into the percolator and turn the machine on. The thrill it gave me to hear the coughing and gargling sound the percolator made as it slowly and methodically made a steaming hot fresh pot of coffee for me to enjoy in our office. Wonderful, sounding like one of our ads at the moment. I savoured the aroma of the coffee as it filled my office, and I would shiver with anticipation, waiting to taste the first cup of the day. Such joy. I was then ready to face the day and deal with whatever issues the senior NCOs and officers would bring to me to deal with to make their lives easier. After a while, as you can imagine, the fresh smell of coffee wafted down the corridor of the brigade HQ, and it started to attract some attention from the aforementioned senior NCOs and officers, who were obviously impressed that this low-life junior NCO had a percolator, whilst they only had a kettle and instant coffee to sustain their day. My office soon became a social hub of various ranks. Then one day along came an officer. We in the lower ranks would call him a Rupert. Imagine someone from a privileged background who is afforded every luxury and opportunity in life, silver spoon, nanny, public school education, rich matron and pater, who have a hereditary title that this Rupert would inherit one day. That type of officer. And even worse, is obviously an in-joke here, he was from the Royal Horse Artillery.
Oh,
I mean, honestly, they're known to be particularly Ruperty.
I first
met this Rupert on his first day at the Brigade HQ. I'd positioned myself behind my desk and commenced the daily paperwork. It was then I noticed the new Rupert briskly walk past my office without so much as a good morning. No worries, I was used to that from certain officers. But after a few seconds, he appeared at my open door. He sniffed the air for a moment, eyes darting about to see where the smell of freshly made percolated coffee was coming from. His eyes opened wide as they locked on my pride and joy. Without so much as a by your leave, he grabbed the handle of my coffee pot.
What?
And walked out with all the coffee.
No.
Straight into his office, slamming the door behind him as he entered his office. I was flabbergasted. My coffee whisked away right under my eyes, and being a junior NCO, I was in no position to protest to an officer. After an hour, I heard his door open and he marched back into my office, and with an empty pot in his hand, he placed the pot rather aggressively on my desk and said in an authoritative manner that officers of privilege used when they talk to men of lower rank, "I have run out of coffee. Could you make me some more?"
Oh, nice.
I mean, I don't know.
That was
a
very good voice,
there.
Though. Yeah, it was good.
And marched out of the office. As you may have gathered, I was rather upset with all this. Now, I'm going to leave out some bits and pieces here. This became his daily routine, and it somewhat annoyed me. I was paying for his coffee. I was ashamed to admit, the next day, I arrived at my office early as usual. I picked up the percolator pot. I will leave the finer details to your imagination, but suffice to say, I walked down the corridor with it and I found somewhere else to fill it, and also something else to fill it with.
Right. Not that. Oh, that.
Well, I mixed it 50-50 and then topped it up with the dreaded tap water. I then went back into my office and proceeded to make the coffee. I settled into my chair and commenced my work, and without fail, the young Rupert promptly arrived at my door, grabbed the pot, and stomped down the corridor to his office. Once I heard his door slam, I allowed a smirk to creep to my face, expecting shrills of disgust coming from his office at any second, and I waited and I waited. After an hour, Rupert appeared at my door. I was ready. I was prepared. I was surely about to get the sacking of my life. It may be demoted, but no. Rupert stood there, looked at me and said, "Have we changed the coffee?"
Yes,
thinking
we have.
On my feet and with slight panic rushing through my body, I said, "Yes, sir, we have. I've switched it to the Quick Save own brand blend house." He looked at me for a short while. And totally unexpectedly, he said, "Good. I like it. Don't change it." And then he slammed the pot on my desk and said, "I've run out of coffees. I need some more." And then he stomped out of the office. I couldn't believe my luck. Needless to say, I made the Rupert a fresh pot in this particular way with my extras every morning that he was posted with us until he went back to the Royal Horse Artillery.
Oh,
off you go.
Them again.
He never cottoned on. Father Simon, I ask you, please, and your tea's forgiveness for my unforgivable act of pollution. Not the act of making the Quick Save own brand blend for the Rupert, but for the rest of the officers and NCOs at the Brigade HQ, who had to make do without a fresh brew and a biscuit for 6 months whilst the Rupert stole my coffee every single day. Needless to say, I threw the percolator out after he left and replaced it with a brand spanking new double-potted percolator once he had left. He does like his percolators.
He does, doesn't he?
Does Brian. A classic army tale, which I neatened up and tidied here and there and made more appropriate for family listening. Sister Susie, what do you say to Brian?
I think Brian's just a bit disgusting, really. I don't want any of Brian's extras in the coffee. And even though, you know, the guy was a bit annoying and, you know, there was a hierarchy that he had to believe. And I just think he wasn't very nice. And maybe you did want to get back at him, but I don't think that was the way to do it, and it's made me feel a bit sick, so I'm not forgiving.
You do have to go to extremes to get some very good coffee, and that's exactly what Brian has done. What do you say, Brian?
He certainly went to some extremes there, didn't he? I'm going to forgive, because frankly, all of us are going to forgive because of Rupert being an insufferable individual. And also, Rupert, he didn't spot anything, did he? Didn't have any taste.
He preferred the taste.
He preferred it, in fact, didn't he? Very much in common with that class of people, I find. I'm going to forgive, and no one else is hurt. And he's getting through that coffee at a rate of knots as well. That much coffee, he'll be creating his own coffee in some time. So I should say I'm going to forgive.
Confess All, Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
When you say he'll be creating his own coffee.
Yes. What could I have meant by that? Well, write in and tell us how I was creating my own coffee.
But rather people didn't.
Yes.
Yeah. But what did you mean?
What did I mean? Well, that is an interesting question, isn't it?
I think what you were trying to say is,
yes,
if he drinks that much coffee, which, yes, as we know, makes you go to the toilet a, uh-huh, lot,
mm,
he will have gone and had a waz
in the Greg's sausage roll bag. There you go.
There you go. Yeah. Back, yeah, to number two.
Back to, I see, massive number
It's
two.
A bit like there's a scene in Austin, oh, number Powers.
Number one, yes.
That sort of is really, I don't know if you know, if they're related to a coffee machine and number twos. And that's kind of where I thought, what, this was going. But it's not number twos, it's number ones number in this, ones, thankfully. Yes. Which I think is marginally
in Austin
better.
Powers?
Yeah.
Wow.
We couldn't have done that confession if it was a number two confession.
No, exactly. I was worried at first when I heard it. I was worried. But no, we're okay.
I mean, that would be impossible.
I'm not sure we should have done it at all, if I'm honest.
Thanks for listening.
That's very good production.
Yeah.
So it's come out on the radio and on the podcast.
Yeah.
And now you come up with a little decision. Anyway, never mind.
Well, it was disgusting.
That wraps up another week of confessions. If you've been inspired by any of them, but if you could, you know, no number ones or number twos.
No. We have to keep those to a strict minimum.
I think we've busted straight through our allowance.
Yeah. We want to keep on being the number one podcast in the world.
That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, send your very, very funny confession to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Now over to Brother Matt with this week's top secret code phrase.
And the code phrase this week is sausage roll bag. Sausage roll bag is this week's secret code phrase.
If you've listened this far, you can thread me at Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads or post it on Blue Sky. Remember to share the podcast with a friend in a bath or shower and leave us with a glowing 5-star review. We'll be back next week with another bunch of confessions. Mark Knopfler, if you're listening, thanks very much for your incredible generosity in sponsoring this podcast.
He's not a sponsor. Just clarify.
He's joining us on the Walk of Life.
No.
How long have you had that?
But also, why worry?
Why worry? Yes. In the tunnel of love.
Anyway, from the pub, Sister Susie gives up the will to live.
Yeah.
From the tack cupboard, which is still unpenetrating.
Yes,
absolutely,
yes,
overflowing.
Like Brinks Matt trying to get in there.
The whole point with Matt Brinks Matt.
They did actually get in. So
it's like Fort Knox. If it was like Brinks Matt, Holly would be on the tape.
That's it, yeah.
She'd be taking mugs home every night.
All of our rings would be made out of tat.
That jacket of yours looks very strange. It looks all. What have you got under there? Oh, I've got 26 mugs.
Yeah, 26, lovely. Yeah.
Anyway, wow. And also Matt says this.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Take me to church.
That one.
That one. Yeah.
Who is that? Hosier.
Hosier. Hosier. Hosier.